You're listening to Sex and Love with me, your host, Dr. Emily Jamia. This series focuses on all topics related to sex and love, both here in the U.S. and around the world. My goal is to not only showcase sexually empowered people, but also give a voice to the challenges many face due to the taboo nature of sexuality in many cultures. Did you know that Belarus is the sex tourism capital of Europe, or that you could get prison time for sending nude photos there? Tune in to today's episode where I sit down with women's sexual health app developer Yana Bilinkaya and psychologist and sexologist Zoya Prishivalka to find out more about these topics, as well as to hear a very interesting conversation about the culture of sex and love in Belarus. Only on Sex and Love with Dr. Emily Jamia. Okay, so welcome everybody, and thank you so much for joining me today. I am so excited about today's podcast episode. So today I am joined with Yana Bilinkaya and Zoya Prishivalka. I hope I said that right, who are joining me all the way from Belarus. And I originally met Yana because she is an app developer and reached out to me to collaborate with her on creating a story about sexual exploration for a popular women's health app. And so it was a long story, and we got to know each other, I think, pretty well through the process. It was something I had so much fun with. And Zoya helped her come up with the story for the app. So she is a psychologist and sexologist practicing in Belarus. And today we are going to talk all about sex and love and relationships in their part of the world. So thank you so much for joining me.
Thank you.
Hi, everyone. Thanks for having us here.
Hi.
So, Yana, do you guys want to just begin by telling people a little bit more about the app that you're creating and the work that you do over there in Belarus so people can familiarize themselves?
Yeah, sure.
Let's start with Yana, maybe.
Wow, so in a couple of words, for the last 4 years, I've been working on different digital products, mainly in the health area. So there was something about longevity, mental health, happiness, chronic pain management. And now I'm working on this project. It's playable therapy. So it's like real life stories, and you can play them and choose different options shaping the story. And as you play, you get comments from different experts like psychologists, sexologists, and other medical experts. So it's pretty awesome. It's like you play real life. So I would say that like my mission and what keeps me up at night is to create digital products that can help people become happier.
Awesome. Sounds wonderful. And you are. I was so impressed with the product that you're creating. And I was so excited once it finally hit the market here in the U.S. on the Flow platform. The story that we were working on specifically was about a couple who were kind of struggling sexually. They were beginning to feel bored, and they were trying to find new ways of spicing up their love life and sex life. And so you originally reached out to Zoya, I believe, to talk yes. about that. So Zoya, do you want to talk a little bit more about your role in the app development and your work there in Belarus?
So I'm a sexologist and a psychologist and therapist in a relationship of people. And I also have a blog in Instagram and have like 60,000 followers on it. And the main theme of my blog is sex education, because in our republic we have no the main education in sex for young people and also the adult people too. And in my blog I do some questions for my followers about the their bodies and their relationships and their sex, and someone seems about this. And I also do therapy with the couples, and I also work like training, some trainings for women about their lives and
coaching women.
Yeah, coach. Thank you. Sorry for my English. Yes, and some a coach for women, how to be in their relation with their bodies and sex and health, and some worst questions about their whole life they have in their lives. That's all. Maybe.
Yeah, also Zoya is making workshops for women, I guess, not for men.
Yeah.
But she is also leading this type of things. You are
busy, it sounds like. You're both very busy.
Yeah. Yes. Because I have also a family, husband, yep. two children, and all their life.
Yeah, in Belarus. I know. It sounds like you're my counterpart in Belarus. I'm the same. I've got husband, two kids, workshops, blog, therapy practice, coaching. It's like, but I think that's what keeps life interesting, is to be busy doing so many different things. So that's awesome. So I'm curious, as you guys were creating this story, how typical was the story of what a couple might experience in Belarus versus someone maybe here in the U.S.?
Maybe Jana say something.
Yeah, Jana? Well, actually, I think that generally the problems are the same. Mm-hmm. So like relationship problems in couples, long-term relationships, and how to keep this fire burning, actually they are pretty much the same. Of course, maybe some couples are more open to different adventures, so to say, because of the society, because the society is more open, and our society may be a little bit more closed, and that's why people are not so open to new experiences. Okay. But in general, the problem is the same, and what Zoya told us correlates very much with what you, Emily, told us about all this problem and how we can deal with it. So it's pretty much the same when we go to the root of the problem and the ways to solve them.
Yeah, so it sounds like it's a real global paradox, right? How to sustain high levels of sexual satisfaction and intimacy and long-term monogamous relationships, right? No matter what part of the world you're in. And so I hear you saying that generally in Belarus, am I hearing you accurately that it's a bit more conservative in its value system, would you say?
Yes, because we have some vote about the how people think is a kind of a family in our country, and 85% they think that we have patriarchy family. yeah, and maybe like in works, we have the same salaries for women and men, but we have 3 years for women for childbirth. And it's like women are more, Jana say in English, зависимы, depends from men. And also in our country, the huge impact of religion we have, I think, because more than 86% maybe like Orthodox. And there 50 maybe persons like Catholic, and the religion have a huge impact for people in do they have something in sex with that. So we have a kind of problem that young people, they are depends from their parents, in money and in the home and something like this, because parents pay money for their education and they stay with there for a long time, for long term of their life, and it's like generation conflict. I don't know, like in English.
Yeah, no, that's right. So I'm hearing you say that there is pretty good equality between men and women in terms of equal pay. So that's good, but that women maybe emotionally or in relationships are still kind of dependent on men and generally dependent on their parents. It sounds like you guys are following similar trends in other parts of Europe where or really around the world where kids are staying home, living with their parents for longer periods of time. And would you say that this is delaying marriage? Like, is our marriage rates on the decline?
Yeah, the young people, they go to marriage because they want go away from their parents and do something for their free life, they think. But they have not some education, how is a family is building, and some rules for families and some rules for sex, maybe something like this. And it may affect many problems then in family life and sex life.
Yeah, between the partners.
Between in the pair.
Yeah.
So.
Okay. And so what I find interesting is that it sounds like there's still a lot of conservative values that, you know, Orthodox or Catholicism, Christianity tends to be the majority religion there. On the other hand, though, Belarus is known to have a high degree of sex tourism. Is that right? So can you guys talk about that a little bit? Because that sounds like quite a dichotomy.
Yeah, do you know something about this?
Well, maybe it's something about some people from Turkey visiting Belarus, something about this.
Right, that's what I read as I was researching, that people come from Turkey or Western Europe for sex tourism.
Well, actually, I'm not sure about Western Europe, but there are really quite a lot of people from Turkey in our country. Mm-hmm. And yeah, because our girls are beautiful.
Yeah.
Well, actually, I think we have 1 more million women, something like 1 more, I think, than men. And I would say that maybe men are quite lazy and quite used to the fact that there are lots of women around them, and these women really take care of themselves and they're very beautiful and so on and so forth. So they don't feel like making beautiful actions towards women. Mm-hmm. And women, they are really hungry for men who will really appreciate them, I would say it in this way. Mm-hmm. And maybe that's why sex tourism seems to be popular, because when Turkish men come to Belarus and they see lots of really beautiful women who take care of themselves, as I mentioned earlier, they know how to flirt with them, they know how to make beautiful actions, and I think that maybe lots of women they really need this. Okay. So maybe you would add something to this story, Zoya.
So
like my view of the situation, but maybe you worked with some people who have been in relationships with Turkish men, I don't know.
So I think now we have another kind of problem. Because of political situation now in Belarus, the many women, they choose the marriage or some relationships with citizens of European countries, and also Turkish people, and someone who choose our women and goes from Belarus, from away from Belarus now. So it's like a trend. Now it's like a trend, because I have many online clients, women, with the same problem. I mean, they are running from Belarus now, and they have many problems with this, with sex, with that man, because they don't have love with them. They don't have equal interest in something. They run away from Belarus.
And you mean right now because of the political situation?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Oh, really? I haven't known that. Wow.
Yeah. I have many clients like in Hungary, in Czech Republic, in like Great Britain, even in USA. We have some dating apps for the dates from men from other countries, and they go to Belarus. You have something like 1, 2, or 3 maybe dates, and then they go run away from Belarus in any way because like
but how do you explain that the men, when they are on these apps and they come to Belarus, they are coming because of I don't know, easy sex, for instance? Why do they bring girls to their countries?
They have some ideas how our women are. They think that Belarusian women are in trouble.
Okay.
And they think that our women not beautiful, but it's also that our women are hardworking. They're like good housekeeping or something.
Good.
But our women will be appreciated for this. Something like stereotypes from many years ago. But now we have the main problem: the political situation, and they think they are heroes for us.
Tell people, if you don't mind, a little bit about what the political situation is and why some women may be trying to get out of the country.
Oh, damn. We had presidential elections last year in August. So actually, the president who is now running the country, he's running it for 25 years. And actually, the majority of the population was for another president, were for another president, but these elections were not fair, so to say, and now then there were lots of protests going on the whole all year round, and lots of detentions, a lot of companies closed, and a lot of companies, I mean, mostly in IT area, they moved to other countries like Ukraine, Lithuania, Poland, and open offices there. So there are lots of people running away from the country because you don't know what to expect here in our country right now, because there are lots of detentions and lots of protests and all this stuff going on.
So it's a bit unstable at the moment.
Yes.
Yeah. So it sounds like you mentioned a couple times that Belarusian women are known for keeping up their appearances and they're very beautiful. Tell me a little bit about the beauty industry over there and how important that is to the women and to the men. And how do you think that ties into sexuality and feeling sexual there?
So I have many clients, women, and they say they think that the beauty is have impact or about how they will be good in sex. I don't know how they do their satisfaction, orgasms, and something like this. And we have Instagram, the huge impact of the beautiful faces, stereotypes, beauty, and the beauty, and they think that how Instagram like saying us, be like this, be like that, women here, and you will be happy in sex.
Okay.
And the huge problem that women do all things about beauty, but the sex, it's not good for them.
But don't you think that women here just are used to taking care of themselves, like regular manicure, pedicure, haircut, and makeup, and so on? Because like you can't go to the street, I don't know, you can't go outside without makeup, like there is a saying here. I would say that younger generations do not behave this way. Okay. So it was like a trend for the guys who were born like in 1980s, something like this. Am I right?
Yes, I think yes.
Yeah.
But we have now the trend also in Belarus, like body positive or body neutral thing.
Yeah, like body acceptance.
Yeah, but it's a very, very terrible thing, I think, for our team, for our people, because they think we need to do something like all the people earlier do like this. But now many, many young women are not in standards of beauty in our country.
Okay.
Yes.
And this is, this seems to be a trend, you know, here in the U.S. It's like the time I was growing up, it was all about having, you know, flat, tight abs and, you know, low-rise jeans to show off your stomach, this and that. And now there's such a positive movement towards bodies being beautiful in every shape and size, and that, you know, not only stereotypically beautiful women can be sexual, that sexuality is something that you discover inside of yourself no matter how you look. And it sounds like you're seeing similar trends there among the younger generations.
Yes.
So tell me, Zoya, I'm curious, you mentioned that you have a lot of clients now internationally who have left Belarus. What are you talking to them about? How would you describe their experiences in other places?
Speaking of our international clients, number one concern is that they like lost their libido and they don't want to have sex, and they can't understand whether they do not want to have sex with the person they are living right now, or just in general they have low their libido and they just don't want sex forever and ever. So, and they are scared, they feel scared, and they didn't have such an issue here in our country because maybe they were in more like love relationships, and now they are more independent relationships, in codependent relationships. Mm-hmm. And they are stressed out and they just don't know how to deal with it. Mm-hmm. And maybe they are also scared to be left there alone, out of home, like homeless, and so on. So that's number one concern.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I'm curious what kind of advice you share with them as a sexologist. What's your perspective? I mean, libido, as we know, as sexologists, is extremely complex. And so what's your take on the shift? I have my ideas, but I want to hear yours.
So, first of all, they discuss whether these women do have any physical issues, first of all.
Yep.
So if there is no physical issue, then they go up with the stress issues. Mm-hmm. Like Zoya explains that stress counts for like 80% decrease in sex. Mm-hmm. So they discuss all things about stress. Mm-hmm. And then what's more important comes communication with their partner. So they together discuss how to communicate this problem to the partner, what is the communication strategy. And she also prepares women that maybe they will need to work together as a couple with her, because this issue can be solved only when both two partners are involved in the process.
Yeah.
And then come all things about sexuality, different cognitions, and so on. But it all starts with understanding physical issues, stress factors, and communication.
Relationship, yep. Sounds like a very similar approach that we use here. Again, it's, I think that no matter where you are in the world, the problems are the same. But it sounds like one piece of the puzzle that you notice is that the difference in the kind of relationship structure, that in Belarus, yeah, they had this more love-based relationship, libido wasn't a problem. And then if they marry someone outside of Belarus, it's more of a dependent, I think you described it, relationship. And that's when they notice the drop in libido. So that ultimately love and romance and the emotional connection matters to people.
Yeah, sure.
Yeah, definitely. So I'm curious, it sounds like, as I was researching, I learned that homosexuality was legalized in Belarus in the mid-90s. And even though it is currently legal, that it's still kind of closeted, frowned upon, judged. Tell me a little bit about what the LGBTQ community is like over there.
Actually, I was surprised right now that LGBT was legalized in our country, because it wasn't legalized, really. Yeah, because
I may have had that wrong.
Everyone here is so intolerant to the people that may seem different. So I would say that in general, our society is very intolerant to all the people who are somehow different, I would say so. So yes, these people are judged a lot. And actually, I do not have any friends or any connections in this community, so it's kind of difficult for me to speak about it. But I know that there is a huge problem there and that people are judged a lot. Well, actually, I was surprised because Zoya shared some information with me that was really a surprise for me. Well, actually, she has lots of clients who are homosexual, and she has lots of friends who are homosexual. And she has she knows some couples who have legalized their relationship somewhere outside our country.
Okay.
And but they returned to our country and are living here right now. And if we take Russian speaking countries like Ukraine and Russia and Belarus, Belarus is the most tolerant countries according to Zoya. Okay. So actually that was a surprise for me, but she told me that homosexual people from this community, when they come to Belarus, they come here to relax and to attend some homosexual parties and so on, because they feel much more free than in Russia or Ukraine.
Interesting.
So that was really a surprise for me, actually. Yeah. Zoya tells me that this is not just her gut feeling, but she talks to different sex bloggers and sexologists in Ukraine and Russia. And of course, they discuss this question and they understand that it's really how it is. It is what it is.
Interesting. So it sounds like there is a tight-knit community in Belarus, despite the fact that it's not generally accepted, that there are some parties where people feel more free to be open and to be themselves.
Close parties. Very close and
kind of underground.
Yeah. Underground parties.
But that is interesting that in comparison to the Ukraine and Russia, that it's considered more open and accepting. Because, yeah, it sounded like from your perspective, Yana, it was like still a big no-no.
Yes.
And so is it currently criminalized then? Like if someone were to be out, you know, say two women holding hands or being affectionate with one another in public, would they face any kind of criminal?
No, we have any laws about the criminal illegal or
about it. Yeah, but as Zoya also mentioned, if we talk about homosexual women, the society is more tolerant to them than to homosexual men, and holding hands is like okay, but not something more than holding hands, something like this.
Yeah, that makes sense. So there's that aspect. We talked about sex tourism earlier and how even though it's not technically legal, the government kind of turns a blind eye. Although when I was researching, it found that prostitution is still criminalized. I'm sorry, not prostitution, pornography is still criminalized in Belarus. Is that right?
Prostitution and pornography too. So,
prostitution and pornography.
Yeah. Okay. Both.
Okay, because I think what I was reading was that prostitution was more of an administrative offense, whereas pornography was more of a criminal offense. That there were,
That's right.
Okay, okay.
But we have many problems with prostitution because it's illegal.
Zoya told me that she used to work in the organization supported by UNESCO, and the main goal with prostitutions. I'm not sure how to say this. Prostitute.
Yeah.
Workers of the commercial sex.
Sex workers, we would say sex workers.
Oh, sex workers.
Sorry. So she used to work with sex workers in this organization supported by UNESCO. And the main goal of this initiative was to prevent sexually transmitted infections and HIV. Okay. But although the main goal was this one, it was lots of help for these sex workers in terms of understanding sexuality, in terms of sex safety, in terms of medical support, psychological support, because they can't just go to medical organizations, governmental, and just say that, you know, I'm a sex worker and I need help, because they will be judged and maybe they even like will be criminalized for this if they go there. Mm-hmm. So yeah, it's about prostitution and about pornography. I know that I'm not sure whether we have such law, but I have a friend who once told me that you shouldn't send any nudes or like any photos via WhatsApp or Telegram or anywhere, because it will be considered to be pornography distribution and you will be imprisoned. And I was like, oh, really? No. Yeah. So yes, do we have such a law here, right?
Yes. And the secret chats and Telegram are rules. So, yeah. We have such law.
So if you send your nude, even your own nude, to someone, it will be pornography distribution.
Yeah.
And then another law, like трактовка, я не знаю, как это будет по-английски, that I have no permission to do some sex education lecture for people in any places, because it need to be special place, maybe like intim shops or sex shops, or maybe like some organization that works with the sexual health or medicine organization or some special event, because I will have some troubles with our law.
Interesting. So you're limited in the ways in which you provide sex education therapy. You have to be careful. Interesting.
Yeah.
So how would you say people perceive you as a sexologist, as someone who specializes in this? Do you feel like people judge you for it, or that you're accepted for the work that you do?
Zoya told me that, well, and actually I agree that sex topic is still a very, very, very taboo topic here in Belarus. Mm-hmm. And I would add, I'm not sure if Zoya will agree to this, but I would add that Belarus like has been a part of the USSR, and there was a saying there, like, there is no sex in the USSR. And this topic was very taboo at that times. And it is still very taboo right now because we have this USSR heritage, so to say.
Yeah.
And so that's why there are lots of stereotypes around the topic, lots of negative things. Mm-hmm. And that's why there are lots of aggressive people who leave bad reviews for Zoya's work, and they like haters on Instagram and so on and so forth. And actually, lots of religious people who also think that if there is a person who talks about sex, he will definitely talk about something bad. And that it will not be like sexual health, because sexual health is very important. They don't understand it. And they think that like it is something bad, and they will be taught something bad. So so like you need to be brave, so to say, yeah, to make this topic less taboo like. And actually, Zoya had a joke that thanks God she has a therapist because a therapist helps her a lot to overcome all this negative pressure coming from different sides.
Yeah.
Of course, there are lots of people who understand the good and who understand that sexual health is really important, and they want to open this sexual health. But on the other hand, there are lots of people who don't understand it, and it's really very difficult to cope with this pressure.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Well, Zoya, it sounds like despite the fact that you're facing scrutiny, you are very brave to
thank you. I think so.
Yes, and you're doing amazing work. I mean, working with sex workers, working with women who've left Belarus, working with couples to just enhance romance and sex within the country. I mean, you're doing such great work. So I just want to thank you for being so open and transparent during this interview. And I've learned so much from both of you. I just I thought this was wonderful, wonderful information. So thank you both.
Yeah,
thank you.
So where can people find you if they want to learn more about you or get information? Tell people where they can find your website or your social media, Zoya.
So I have a blog on Instagram, and Prisha Zoyka.
I'll put the link.
Yeah, okay. like Zoya Prishevalka, Prisha Zoyka. I yeah, don't know. And the blog in Russian.
Yeah.
Maybe who have some question about the sexuality of the people in Belarus, they yeah. need to like a mail for me.
Mm-hmm.
Krishazoika@gmail.com. So.
All right, and thank you again, Yana, for helping facilitate this interview, and it's so lovely to see you again as well. I think that I think it's so unique, the work that you're doing, and I'm so excited about the app. For anyone who's interested, you can find the story that Yana and I worked in on the Flow app, which is a women's health app, and it's all about how to explore new things sexually with your partner, and she's got lots of exciting things that she's working on, so definitely follow her. Do you want to tell people how they can stay up to date with what's happening with you?
Yeah, sure. So you can find me on LinkedIn, Facebook, Instagram, and all those social websites. So maybe, Emily, you will leave links to our social accounts from Zoya and mine. So yeah, feel free to chat with me and to drop me a line.
Okay. All right. Well, thank you, ladies, both. And hopefully our paths will cross at some point in the future and we can meet in person.
Yeah. Thank you for having us.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
Bye.
Thank you so much for tuning in to today's episode of Sex and Love with me, Dr. Emily Jamia. If you enjoyed this episode, don't forget to like, subscribe, and share with a friend or partner. I release an episode every other Monday. You can find me on Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Dr. Emily Jamia. If you and your partner are struggling with emotional and sexual intimacy, check out my online workshop available at www.emilyjamia.com. See you guys next time on Sex and Love.